Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic. I'm Danny Pellegrino. I have a very special guest today. I'm so super excited. It's been a long time in the making, and I didn't know that it would happen. Kristen Doty from Vanderpump Rules. Welcome, Kristen.
Happy Valentine's Day, my love.
I know. You're here on Valentine's Day. This episode will be out a few days after Valentine's Day, but I couldn't imagine spending Valentine's Day with anyone else. I'm so happy you're here. And like I said, it's been a long time in the making because when I first started the show, you were like my dream guest. So I just wanted you here. And I felt like people were bullying you online because we started like a hashtag. It was like Kristen is iconic.
And I think I told you this at BravoCon that I thought it was like you were like mocking me. Yeah. And until Ariana and I became much closer friends, and you guys were so close, like you were so close with Tom and Ariana, obviously because of your book. Then she was like, Kristen, no, he's actually serious. Yeah. Like this, like Kristen is iconic or Kristen is a queen. And I'm like, I just thought you were mocking me and being so mean. I'm like, I'm never doing his podcast.
No, Kristen, you're keeping the lights on over at Bravo because really when I think back of some of the most iconic moments on that show, you really have given them to us.
The bitch slap heard around the
bitch
world.
Bitch slap, the suck a dick. I mean, nothing's better than you telling the manager of sort of suck a dick.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never lived quite like that moment.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I have so many questions for you. I also got a copy of your book yesterday, and I tried my best to read it like cover to cover. I kind of had to skim over some parts just because I wanted to get into everything.
But I love that you did that because I wanted this book to be so universal that people, like, you don't have to read it cover to cover necessarily, but you can skip to any chapter.
Right.
And that's what I want for guys and girls, like anyone reading it, to just be able to go, oh, what's that chapter about? I want to go there. Right. And it's okay to kind of mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, because each chapter is a different guy in your life.
A different experience.
A different experience.
And Tom Sandoval has a few chapters for
right,
sure.
I know.
I'm sure you figured those out.
I know, because it's kind of coded. That was sort of fun to me because it's like
the pseudonyms.
You don't say Tom Sandoval, but it's like when you start to read it, you're like, oh, that's Tom or that's James or that's whatever.
Yeah, my Mactor.
So it's called He's Making You Crazy. And it comes out when?
It comes out June 2nd, 2020.
June 2nd. Do you just feel so relieved that it's like done? And
yes.
You must be so proud.
It's the coolest thing ever. And Michelle, for me, like I remember even like strangely enough, because Stassi and I clearly are not great friends right now.
I'm so mad at them right now.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. But she did text me not long ago and just said, congratulations on your book. I hope that it wasn't like a hard process for you because it can be very stressful and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
For me, it was so seamless. It was one of the most exhilarating moments and processes of my life. It was therapeutic. It was exciting. And I think I owe that a lot to Michelle Alexander, my co-author, because we just had so much fun together and just sitting. If I had to write the whole book myself or with a ghostwriter, I assume maybe that would have been much harder process.
Right.
And you know, like you've obviously been a part of writing books and whatnot. But for me, it was just really, really fun sitting with Michelle and doing that, like that, the second part of it, you know, once you get your edits back and you're kind of rewriting some things, like that was a little, I think maybe a little more difficult for us. Cause we're like, okay, we gotta,
that's
unpack,
the work stuff. Yeah.
Unpack, yeah. Quote unquote, was like the term we like to use, like unpack that a little bit more. And I'm like I've unpacked my entire dating life.
Right. Like you put everything out there.
Yeah.
And then like, give us
but
a little more.
It was cool. There were definitely some hard moments.
So. You know, I had mentioned this on my Twitter. I respect Tom and Ariana so, so much because they did put my name on the cover. Mm-hmm. They've included me in book signings and all of that kind of thing. And I just think it means so much, and you're including Michelle as your co-author, because a lot of people, you know, I've ghostwritten stuff before, and
right.
It's not always, it's actually industry standard a lot of times to kind of hide who the celebrity is working with.
Mm-hmm.
But I just respect you so much. I think it means so much to, I'm sure, Michelle.
Yeah, for me, honestly, when we started writing the book together, Michelle and I, she, like, like three chapters written, and we were so fortunate to sell the book and get that opportunity. But immediately she said, like, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm on the cover. And I'm like, but it matters to me because we're 50-50 partners. These are my stories for sure.
Yeah, but it's your life.
We co-authored this together. It was a 50-50, you know, work put in. There were definitely moments where certain chapters, especially some heavier chapters, where she said, take this and run with it. You have to write this on your own. I can't do anything for you. And when you're done, let's read it out loud, because she loves to read everything out loud. And then we'll see if I can help you with it. But for the most part, she really wanted to make me write these by myself.
Yeah.
And I just think it's important to give her that credit that she deserves.
Did Stassi use a...
She had two ghostwriters, I think. She was pretty public about it because they filmed a lot of her process.
Oh, right.
Last season on Vanderpump. Yeah. She Skyped with some people or whatnot.
We'll get back into the book. But right now I want to talk about Vanderpump Rules.
Let's do it.
I'm so mad at them. I feel like they're being so mean to you. How do you feel about it? Like, even watching it back, are you getting more upset, or do you understand them more, or what's the vibe watching it back?
Honestly, I'm watching it with everyone else trying to figure out what the problem is. And the more episodes that the more confused I am. Mm-hmm. So like the first few episodes, I was like, okay, so I know they're annoyed about Carter. I get that it's probably taxing on them that I'm being this like whiny little biatch. Like, I totally get that. But then like two episodes ago, the episode prior to Pride, when Stassi was like, you know, I will always be there for you and I will never not be there for you and I love you no matter what. And Katie was still really salty, telling me to shut up and shut the F up and whatnot. That was like the hardest episode for me, because then Stassi did Watch What Happens Live and Andy said, like, so what's the probability that Kristen will be invited to the wedding? She's like 50-50. I'm like, but you love like me so much.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I was going to ask, did something happen later in the season between you guys, or is it just like a little thing?
So this is the timeline for me is what is hard, and I'm going to keep watching it with everyone else, and hopefully I see something that maybe Katie and Stassi filmed together, or Stassi films with Bo, something that I'm not grasping just yet. But the weird thing was, after Miami and pre-Brittany and Jax's wedding, actually on Stassi's birthday, which we didn't really celebrate this year, strangely enough, on Vanderpump, I went to Stassi's sister's wedding with Katie, Stassi, Bo, and Tom. Just
so
the five
everything
of us,
was fine.
And everything was great. And that was like 3 days pre-wedding, and had the best time ever. So when I hear Katie and Stassi say, like, it's been so shitty for so long and so toxic for so long, I was like, that's weird, because I remember your birthday and your sister's wedding. We had like the best time ever.
Right.
So I
think
I don't know.
As a viewer, it's like I relate to what you are going through. I think we've all sort of been there. And you mentioned on the show the messiness. And you mentioned on the show to them, to Katie, you said, you like, I've been there for you guys. Mm-hmm. And now I'm asking you to be there for me. And it's weird to me, because they say it's a very toxic relationship, right? But then they're there for Brittany and Jax. They've had their ups and downs. They've been there through other people's ups and downs. And so it is weird to me that it's like, it's singled out with you a little bit. And is it just like worse with you and Carter?
That's how I feel too. And I said this on Twitter, and I definitely, it was not a cool dig for me to come at Katie at the dinner at Katsuya and say, well, like when Tom fucked around,
it was good
you,
TV.
Like it was a deep dig. It wasn't.
Yeah. No, you're fine.
Trying to open a water bottle, y'all, with one hand. it was a low dig, and I wasn't proud of it, because I basically pulled a Katie on Katie by saying something like that. But I just felt so like
cornered.
I don't like the word bully, but like pushed in a corner. And I tweeted this too, but like literally Ariana was sitting next to me, of all people. She had her hand on my thigh, just like squeezing my knee, being like, you're fine. Don't go there. Like, don't fight back.
Don't engage.
Don't bark back. Yeah, don't engage. And I just feel like, I said this yesterday on, I think, Jenny McCarthy's maybe or something, someone's podcast. The other day, there was like a Vanderpump marathon on Tuesday. And I was like hearing things in the background, because I just had, naturally, I had Bravo.
Sure. Who doesn't?
And it was like a reunion from season 2, 3, something like that, playing, where Stassi was like in a bad place. And Stassi and Katie were fighting and they were going at each other. And I stopped for a minute and thought, when have I ever just gone after either of them?
Right.
And I, In the 10 years I've been friends, I can't think of one single time that I've engaged and started that fight. I've defended myself. I've been an asshole. I've screamed and shouted. I've been a little crazy.
Right.
But I can't think of a single time that I've actually just been like, I'm sick of you and I'm sick of you complaining about something.
Right.
But yet for me,
right,
I'm just too much to take, I guess. Now, I don't know.
Now, do they have, is it a separate situation with both of them, or is there one that's like, you think the relationship could mend easier, or is it kind of a package deal?
I hope that it's not a package deal, because if I hope that I get to have a conversation with both of them at some point, like a very transparent conversation.
And I hope I think it's on camera.
Maybe that's what they're waiting for. I don't know. Maybe they're like, we're waiting for the reunion. Bitch, you know better. We're not going to talk before then.
I'm worried about this reunion because there's going to be a million fucking people on that stage with your cast. There's so many people, but go ahead.
I was like, who's fighting with, what are we talking about? Am I talking at all? I think this is important. What's happening? Jackson and Brittany are going to be like, remember we got married?
So much.
No, we're going to talk about Dana and Max instead.
Enough with Max.
It's going to be a lot. But I hope that we do get to have like two separate conversations, and it's like weird because it's like day to day. There are days that I'm like, God, I really wish I could talk to Katie today or hang out, or we talk about the wine, or we talk about something work related and it feels great again. And then the next time I see her, she's an asshole. And then there are other times where I run into Stassi and she couldn't be kinder to me, but she won't return her text for like 3 months. So I'm just like, I don't know. Do I want that anymore? Because do I want someone that doesn't want me? Right. It feels like a toxic relationship.
And sometimes I think in friendships, which it's hard as a viewer to watch you guys breaking up because we're so invested in you guys. But I think in real life or in my own life, I do realize that sometimes friendships do have, you do have to just move on and say goodbye to certain friendships. But you guys are on a TV show together, so it's different.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you, playing kind of like peacemaker a little bit, like what's your favorite thing about Stassi? Like, what do you miss kind of the most about her?
I really miss just, this is going to sound so like, she's like my boyfriend, but literally just like sitting on the couch with her and like ordering Postmates and just talking about life, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, that was something that I really cherished about my relationship with Stassi, was just like venting and also talking about all the positives and giving each other advice about like this whole book writing process. It would have been so nice to be like, tell me what the book tour thing was like. Like, tell me what you know. And because I'm so much older than her, there were so many things that I would be like, listen, I've been through A, B, C, and D. Let me tell you about my experiences. Stassi was always someone who never like gave unsolicited advice, but she would discuss her experiences. And that's like something I really value in a best friendship. That's something that I have with Brittany. Brittany never shoves something in my face, but she goes, okay, well, this is what I've been through. Maybe that'll help you too. And that was so, and obviously like Stassi and I love to gossip and it was private and fun.
Yeah. And she's fun too. She's funny and she's quick-witted.
She's so witty and sharp-tongued, but in like a really cool, positive way. I felt more intelligent hanging out with her. I would learn a lot. So I really miss all of that stuff. And then,
Katie
and I have this like insane love for music. And that's the major thing that I miss about Katie, is we could sit for like hours, almost like not even talk, and just jam music and play, watch movies. We have the same taste in almost everything. And that was so rad. And I miss that so much. And we've dabbled in it. But then again, like I was saying sort of earlier, like we'll have like a phone conversation. She'll answer the phone when I call. But then the next time I see her, maybe she's in a bad mood and she wants nothing to do with me. So I feel like these are like bad breakups with boyfriends, essentially. And I'm like, do I tiptoe? I don't know.
I don't know how you guys do it with, you know, you can't just ignore someone. You're on a TV show together. That's so weird to me.
It's hard.
You're not with Carter anymore, right?
I'm not.
Okay, you're not. And how are you doing post-Carter?
I mean, we've been broken up for now about a year.
And are you dating?
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to...
Single, but dating.
One of the most shocking things that I read in the book was you tell a story about post-Carter being with a guy. And you said one of your girlfriends texted the new guy.
Oh, yeah.
And told the new guy that you're still kind of hanging out with Carter. I don't remember the exact whatever.
Yeah.
And it was it inferred that it was either Katie or Stassi, right?
It was not.
Oh, it was neither.
No.
But so one
this
of your,
was more recently.
Was it one of the friends that we would know?
No.
So it was just a friend?
A girlfriend.
What a shitty thing to do, though.
Yeah, I was really mad.
I thought, like, it was so... It's so... I don't...
And that was her version of... To me, I was like, does she have a crush on this guy? Is that why
she's doing this? Why is she getting involved?
And it, her point of view is that she was like protecting me from like getting wrapped up in Carter again. But I'm just like, no. And this is something Michelle, my co-author, like she's taught me through the process of writing this book, was that like, why do your friends, Katie and Stassi included, this girl we're talking about right now, and a few other people that Michelle like has was like viewing while we during this process, she was like, why do your friends think they know better for you than you do? Why don't they just let you live? You know, like, just let me live. Let me figure it out. Let me learn my lessons. You can't learn because someone tells you what to do.
I mean, it is a hard thing. I think like sometimes you do want to give your friend, you want to help your friend, you know, you want to drag them out if they're in a bad, protect them. And it is a difficult situation when your friend is with someone that you think is bad for them or bad for their mental health, emotional health, whatever. But I just thought, I was so mad at your friend. I was like, how it's to get involved in your new relationship and say like, oh, you should know this. So how's Brittany? She's in the middle of it. How's she navigating all of this?
I was with Brittany last night. We spent all day together. We did the Vanderpump Rules after show.
Do you talk shit about Katie and Stassi when you're together?
Well, we talked about how hard it is for her. But she said yesterday, she was like, the bottom line is, while we're filming, you know, the digital content, and she was like, Kristen is my very best friend in LA. But Stassi and Katie are two of my closest friends too, and it is really hard. She's grateful that I don't make it hard for her. I sort of just like throw my hands up and go, okay, so you're hanging out with Katie, Stassi, and Lala today. I guess I'll talk to you next week. But it does feel shitty. And there were points over the summer when we were filming that I would sort of back off. Like there was one specific day I had dropped a friend off at the airport. I drove right to Brittany's house because she was like, oh, come over and let's swim in the pool. She wasn't answering her phone. I was like, oh, I'll just run by there. And I get there and it's Stassi, Bo, Katie, Tom, Randall, and Lala. And I walk in, like, seeing them all in the pool, and I was like, do I run? What do I do?
I would have ran the other way.
I just went in, and I sat down, and I was like...
You did cannonball? Remember on that episode? You cannonballed right in, Kristen. Right?
Oh, yeah, the public pool. Your podcast.
You did the public pool. You just cannonballed right in, Kristen.
Yeah, I sure did.
I loved it. I loved it.
Those were groomsmen in the pool. They're fine. They were groomsmen.
How... the girls went on a girls trip too. That must be hard to see
Park City?
On social media. Was that where they went?
Or Mexico?
I don't know where
which
they
one.
Were. Right. Yeah, they went to different. It must be hard to like hop on social media. Do you also follow each other?
Yes, but I have them all muted.
Okay.
Because there's no reason to torture myself.
Sure.
I'm not going to unfollow them. I still love them. I just don't want to see them having a wonderful time without me.
I want you guys to get back together.
Yeah.
It would be nice. But I'm also still so mad at them for.
I feel like Stassi and I are going to have an easier path somehow because we have more honest communication. And I don't think I've been asked this question a lot if I think Katie's only doing this because of Stassi, and I don't think so. And I don't think Katie's a minion, and I think she has her own opinions. However, I do feel like if Stassi were to forgive me or be friends with me or make up with me again, I feel like Katie would be following along.
Oh, interesting. So we need to get Stassi.
Maybe that's because Stassi's getting married and they're all trying to sort of protect her feelings and just be there for her right now during this process. I don't know. Right now, I just have to make up a bunch of reasons in my head.
You're going to go to the wedding. I think it's going to happen. It's 50-50, but I bet it'll happen. It'll happen. You guys will make up. I think at the reunion, you'll hash it out. We'll get to see it.
We'll see.
But we do want to see it. Okay, now the new people on the show, they're not being integrated well.
Yeah.
It's a big hot mess.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I feel like Dana's being integrated
well. Yeah, I like
well.
Dana.
I love Dana.
Too. Yeah.
And Max, the thing is, I've known Max longer than any of them just because he's honestly been the GM at TomTom for 2 years. And I love Max and he lives in the Valley like us. So I hang out with him. I have my own friendship with him. I don't know Brett very well.
Do you
I think
feel
it's
like
weird.
Do you feel like they're treating Sheena poorly? Like, I don't like how they're treating Sheena, the man.
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah.
But this is the first season that I've seen Sheena really just stand up for herself and be like, whatever, I'm the queen bee now. Bow down, bitches. Right. I think it's hysterical. The scene with she and Max when she pulled out she came to the Shelby.
That was so good when she had the receipts.
I was cringing.
The
I'm like,
receipts.
Why are you, Sheena, what are you doing to yourself? And then she just, full redemption, pulling out those text messages.
You know, it just feels like there's two separate shows going on, which I think we had maybe expected going into the season.
There's
knowing
like,
that
here's Valley Village and here's West Hollywood.
Right, and it's so awkward to me. And I just think there either needs to be two different shows. And then, of course, like I think with the Max and Brett tweets, we see they're not in confessionals anymore. So that makes it even more awkward because it's like we are going to the new people, but then we're not like treating them the same as the others.
That's interesting.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I think it's just weird. But I wondered, and Sheena too, I feel like I feel like they do her dirty so much. And I've been saying this on my show. I'm like, we need justice for Sheena, because I feel like it's getting to the point where it's like bullying.
Yeah,
I don't want to use that word. Maybe
no, you're
maybe,
right. I mean, I'm always just like, let Sheena live.
let Sheena be Sheena.
I love that she dresses like a 19-year-old. I love that she's extra. But I love that about her. And this is the first year. And I remember before we started filming this past season, I told Sheena, just own it, dude. Just be you. Don't apologize for who you are. Just be you, because you're such a great friend, not only, but like a character, if you will, on this show. Yeah. Like, you know, we're all one dimensional.
She started this fucking show.
She really did. She literally did.
Sheena fucks Eddie Cibrian. We wouldn't have a show.
We would not have Vanderpump Rules.
So thanks, Sheena. And we need a justice for her. It's like, seriously, it's getting to the point.
Justice for Sheena.
It's like getting to the point where I'm watching. I'm like, oh my God, they're editing like another clip package of embarrassing Sheena.
Yeah.
And then this fight with Dana seems like so fake to me. Like with the,
I mean, it's not fake.
But yeah.
It's definitely not. But I don't like it, because I love Sheena and I love Dana. But it's just so trivial and like so stupid, because like, do either of you really give a shit about Max and Brett? Really?
Yeah.
Or was it just like a dick measuring contest?
Yeah. Also, I said this on the show in the past. I feel like sometimes no one on the show gets to like, we don't see a lot of like James May. We don't see Sheena's podcast. There's like things, a lot of things in your lives. And I know we have so many fucking cast members on the show. We can't show everything, right?
Like 72 at this point.
But then it's like Stassi, every single scene of Stassi is her being this businesswoman. And,
yeah.
And it almost is presented. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Stassi, because she's built a wonderful brand and everything. But it just seems like we have one businesswoman and it's like no one else.
Yeah, it's like she's the Lisa Vanderpump. I mean, that's how I felt filming it, and especially watching it, and Lisa's like, you know, like basically licking her butthole and being like, okay, now you're the one who gets the ring that everyone needs to kiss. And I'm like, wait, bitch, like I have a clothing line. I also wrote a book that's being turned into a television show. And I also have
it's turning into a television show.
Yeah, that's what we're working on now. Oh my God, so that's exciting. The whole reason we wrote the book to begin
with. That's so exciting.
But it's like, we all have these things. Like, yeah. And Tom and Ariana wrote this super successful book.
Fancy AF cocktails. You can get it on Amazon.
Get it on Amazon.
Or Target.
But yeah, or Target. And Sheena's like, she has a podcast too. And like, we're all doing things, and I wish that they would sort of celebrate that, at least show it a little bit. Like the fact that I wasn't in the Pride episode, like I was salty as hell about that.
Where were you?
I was at Sir selling James May One Love t-shirts, profits going to the
Trevor
Project.
You were even at Sir.
I was there. The entire time.
But see, this is also the issue with having such a big fucking cast, because it feels like there's episodes that we don't see James and Raquel for three episodes,
yeah.
Or we don't see
Lala wasn't in
a couple of episodes. You were not in the Pride episode. And it's just like, it's so weird to me. And I said this before too. It'd be like watching, I don't know, Will and Grace, and it's like Deborah Messing's not in the episode
like,
for
wait,
2 weeks. And I know that happens when someone goes on maternity leave or something, but it's like on a show. I don't know. On soap operas, I guess people can come and go a little bit, but it just feels like such a large cast. But I just always put myself in other people's shoes, and I'm like, I'd be so pissed if like every episode Stassi looks like this fucking amazing businesswoman, which she is. But then,
the weird thing is production like celebrates the fact that we have these other ventures. Like they want that for us, especially when we're not working at Sir. Like clearly, I haven't worked there in how many years. But then you celebrate that, but then you don't want to air it because it's boring. No. Or how about because I'm selling shirts, like sitting there, like almost like a goddamn lemonade stand, because it's that important to me, though, to be a part of Pride, a part of the LGBTQ community, to be giving back, to be donating, which is something Lisa's so great at. Like, I just thought, I didn't do it because of those reasons, but I'm like, why would you not even include it for 5 seconds?
For 5 seconds.
But instead, just like, the fact that Danica has to run Sir by herself and Peter's on the boat.
That scene between Peter and Raquel seems so fake. Like that one of outside by the Sir dump. It was like they were. It seemed like the most terrible acting I've ever seen on television. Right.
That's how I felt too.
This might be too insidery, and you can just tell me to fuck off if it's not okay. But did the contracts change or something where people are getting paid per episode, or was that always the case or something? Because it seems like.
I mean, I don't talk to like anyone but like the main cast about like how their contracts work. So I don't know.
Right.
I don't know the way like new people or if, you know, people that were on a different tier or something like that. Like I don't really care either.
You know, speaking of that Peter and Raquel scene, a lot of fans online are kind of calling out certain things on the show. For instance, someone on the Bitch Sesh podcast said they were at the Tom Tom Stassi book signing. And they had claimed that they had seen them, Stassi and Tom, film that blow up scene a bunch of times.
No.
So it was just once.
Oh, it was just once. Okay. And I was standing right there for like a, maybe the first 3 or 4 minutes of it, sort of inserting myself. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna like moonwalk back out of this situation because there's enough people involved.
What did you think of that fight?
On Stassi's side. Yeah. I thought Tom was an idiot. Like, and I even had to tell that to Ariana's face, which was awful because I get she's going to back up Tom. I celebrate her for doing that no matter what. And I get like Tom's POV was like, well, we weren't even like IDing people and like we could have gotten in trouble for that. But it's like, that's not on Stassi. She did everything she needed to do. You got fucked up the night before with James Kennedy. It was all over social media that you were up to like 4 o'clock in the morning per usual. So you can't go at her. Talk to Tom, talk to Lisa about it. I was full team Stassi on that.
Did you ever get rage texts from Tom?
Absolutely. Back in the day.
So this week on the show, this episode will air before the episode. We haven't seen this week's Vanderpump Rules.
I have not either, just so you know.
But we did see in the preview that there's this fallout that kind of played out online a little bit with Brittany and Jackson, their pastor. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering, what's your take on that situation?
Yeah, I talked to Brittany about this yesterday, and during that time, I stayed mum about it. Even during like our Vanderpump like interview moments, they would ask me to like speak up about it. And I was like, I'm not saying a damn word. We all saw it happen on Twitter. We saw the tweets, but I don't think that I think that they made the right decision, but I don't necessarily think that he was, you know, a homophobic. I don't think that, but I think that Jackson Brittany did what they had to do for themselves. And I think having Lance was the perfect person because they were so close to him.
He wed them.
Yes. Yeah. And I think, because it was a very last minute decision. He was capable, able, he was coming to the wedding anyway. And I think that that was the best decision that they could make for them. But I don't think their pastor is homophobic. I know that he was basically just tweeting Bible verses that are unfortunate because it really gross. Looks that way. Well, it is, because I don't agree with them at all.
Yeah.
I'm Christian, but I'm like, I just think people are assholes.
Yeah, yeah. Church of Kristen.
Yeah, people are assholes, you know? An asshole is an asshole, and that's that. But I think that they made the best decision that they could do for them, because obviously even though he was just reciting Bible verses, they don't stand for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, it was interesting because I remember when all the women were on Watch What Happens Live, Andy, this was like last season, Andy had brought it up, and Brittany had said, no, we support him. And all of this sort of thing. And then it had come up again. And that's, I guess, when they decided to get rid of the pastor.
Yeah. I just think it was a lot on their shoulders, because if it's not necessarily that everyone thought this. So they're like, well, everyone thinks one thing. We really need to go that route. I just think it was just too heavy on their shoulders. And they were like, you know what? We don't want the wedding to be about this. So let's just cut our losses.
Icons. If you're anything like me, you love to spend TV commercial breaks browsing real estate listings. Now, I love watching my favorite shows and also looking up homes, especially the ones that I know that I can't afford. And my favorite app to use is Redfin. When Matt and I were looking for a home, we used the Redfin app to search for homes in the area and within our budget. The Redfin app made it super easy. Now, Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easy. Plus, if you see something you like, you can book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So Redfin made it so easy to filter out the homes that didn't meet or have the necessities I wanted. I still use it to search for homes close by and in the cities my favorite reality TV stars live. Download the Redfin app to get started. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus, iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow-knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic.
Jax, like, says things.
Jax is just dumb. He's just dumb. An idiot, and he has no filter, and he doesn't think before he speaks.
Because, like, I saw him say something about Ariana and her liking women, and that was just...
He's like, Ariana's a lesbian. That's why she and Tom don't get along. And it's like, well, Ariana, number one, is publicly bisexual. Also, who cares? And why don't you just leave her and Tom alone because they're not like you and Brittany? Who cares? You're not better than anyone, Jax. You're not better than me because you have a wife. You're not better than Ariana because she doesn't want kids right now. Like, shut up. He's just an idiot. Like, it's
so, and there's been times on Twitter where I've seen certain things that he said that just feel like so gross.
Yeah, he's an idiot. Like, he's just like a caveman, and he needs to
That's not an excuse.
He's like Donald Trump. Like, take your social media away. You can
take
say
away
it
the
in
passwords.
The privacy.
Brittany, take away the fucking passwords.
Take like, you can say it in the privacy of your own home and be a dick then, but otherwise just shut up.
Wait, not to divert too much, but in the book, it's so funny when you say how to get guys' passwords, and my favorite tip was like, figure out their iTunes password, and that'll give you their Wait, can you explain those?
Yes. So your iTunes password is also your Find My Phone. And
it's so diabolical, Kristen.
Yeah,
I love it.
So it's very, very easy to do. And
Tom
Sandoval was
the
person I was talking about. So I learned how to track him. And then when he essentially broke up with me and started dating Ariana, I erased his iPad.
Oh my God.
Because, you know, when you like have it and like, let's say you lose your phone and you're like, oh crap, now someone definitely stole my phone. You want to erase the contents of your phone so people can't, you know, get into it. So he was really mad at me. I remember that so well. He called me and he was like, did you delete my iPad like contents? And I was like, no. He's like, no. And I was like, why am I even lying to you? Yes, I 100% did it. And I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry.
Those years early on, the whole Tom saga and everything with you guys, like those years were just peak TV. It was some of the best television of all time. Going back to the diversity thing or the LGBT issue, on the show, it's about a show in West Hollywood, of course. And I know all of you guys have LGBT friends in real life.
Don't you wish we had one on the
show?
But
like, why doesn't it happen? That's what I don't understand. It's like, and I know you guys aren't in control of casting.
Yeah.
But I just wonder if you have any insight as to why are your gay friends just not interesting enough? Like, what's happening?
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, I think it has a lot to do with who works for Lisa. But we do have some friends. You know,
there's gay
like
people
both
that work
of the
for
Logans,
this.
For example.
I know I want Logan Cochran to be.
Yeah, it's like both Logans, like and certain people like that. But maybe I don't know. It's just the main cast, the way we started.
Yeah,
it hasn't branched out to that yet, but hopefully sooner than later.
Yeah, I know. It's just we need some diversity, even people of color, and all of that. So, what did you make of Billie Lee? Were you? I know you.
I think
didn't
she's
get
an asshole. I really liked her to begin with. We were friends. We used to like cook vegan food together. I thought she was great. And the second she started coming after all of my friends and just the cast and, you know, calling Katie that Katie's like hates transgender people or like blah, blah, blah. I was like, you're cut. You were coming on the show and you were going to take over. I also know that biatch went on Wikipedia and changed the Vanderpump Rules Wikipedia to saying that I was no longer on the show and she was a main cast member. For a
oh
fact.
My God.
Don't worry, that shit got changed back real fast. But I just think she's an asshole. And I think she thought because of her being transgender, like we all celebrated that so much. And I thought it was such an important statement to make. I thought her experiences were so important, but she got too big for her britches.
Mm. See, I felt bad for Billie Lee at the last reunion because I felt like she wasn't able to explain, like, I didn't feel like she was able to explain like how that situation transpired, and it felt
she
like
she started it though. It was all to me. It was her fault for making something so massive out of nothing. Like I wasn't included in that night. I'm a main cast member. I've been on the show since day one. Just because I don't work at Sir, I wasn't like tagged in that dumb tweet about girls' night. Like, calm down. You're going to make this now about the fact that you weren't born a woman. No, it's because you're not best friends with them. It was just a few of the girls throwing the event. Don't make something out of nothing.
Do you, the main cast members, like the, how many, what, there were five of you at the beginning or
there
six?
There were seven. Well, if we include Tina McDowell.
Yeah, what happened with Tina McDowell? Was supposed to be on the show, right? She was cast as someone and they just edited her out.
Yeah, I think Tina, it just really wasn't for Tina. Mm-hmm. I think she was a little too mature.
Right.
For us. But it was Peter, Sheena, Tom Jacks, me, Saucy Katie.
So Peter was a main cast?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Season one.
I don't remember him being in like the promotional stuff, but maybe
It was more of the six of us.
So do any of you worry the original people, do you, any of you worry that they would fire any of you or anything like that? Or do you...
I mean, I fucking hope not.
Right. Because it just, I mean, on other shows, on like the Housewives
and stuff. I think it's a very confusing transition right now. And they're trying to figure out when we all sort of started from the bottom and now we're here. What do they do with that?
They just do two shows. Like, let's just do two shows. Do the OG cast members. And we don't have to pretend anyone works at Sir.
As long as I still have a job, I'm so in.
I don't understand why we're pretending Jax has to, or why he has to work at Sir.
Yeah.
Of all people, I feel like. He don't even work there.
I did like the beginning of the season when Sheena was like, okay, so these people no longer work here. Like, let's be honest about
it. Yeah, we're being honest about it. But why?
I really appreciate
that. But then
poor
Sheena and Jax have to show up.
Hey, you know what? Make Jax do something.
Someone's got to
do it. He's probably made four drinks in his like eight seasons of Vanderpump Rules, so keep him behind that bar.
I get so mad at him when he like won't make a martini or something. I'm like, people are paying you to make a martini.
That's really how he was when he was working there, though. People would say, like, make me a mojito. And he's like, you can have a vodka cranberry or a beer. That is what you get. It's like...
Now, Kristen, from the book, I got the impression that you have no type, like, in terms of a man. Like, you have dated hockey players. You've dated
I'm realizing that now.
Actor models.
Yeah.
Younger people than you. People in a cult. Like, I was really shocked. I was like, you've literally dated it all. And so I was going to ask, do you think you have a type?
I thought that I did for a while. And it was, like, anyone who kind of looked like Tom Sandoval. I thought that was, like, really my type.
Well, he's so pretty. Like, of course.
Yeah. Like pretty white boy, dark hair, dark eyes. Like, that was kind of it. James was a fluke. That was a rebound, not a relationship.
I think James is looking really good these days. You don't think so?
I don't think so at all. No, nope, not at all.
I know.
That's okay.
Sorry to bring it up.
tough wound. But I really thought that I did have a type, and now I don't think that I do at all. Right. Because now I'm no longer being like, oh, well, he looks hot on Instagram. That's my guy. Like, no, it doesn't matter if you have abs. It's like, do you have a personality? Are you hilarious?
Away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because we're grown now.
Who, if you were to look at a celebrity, like, just looks-wise, who would be your, like, celebrity crush?
Mm.
Like, are you, like, a Ryan Gosling or a Michael Jordan?
I mean,
Jordan
I love
or...
Ryan Gosling, but Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, I get that.
If he were taller.
That. Yeah, yeah.
I think smart is sexy. Like, smart wit personality, like, that turns me on. It's, I say it in the book, I'm like, the way to my vagina is through my heart. Like, make me melt, and, like, that's how you have sex with me.
I also want to mention, the book is tongue-in-cheek. Mm-hmm. I think some people might be seeing the cover and saying, well, Kristen's crazy. Like, what do you mean? The men made her crazy. But you're having fun with
poking fun
at yourself.
And I'm owning my crazy.
Right.
That's the point.
Because I think sometimes people might miss that. And they'll be like, oh, come on, Kristen.
Oh, I get it all
this.
The time. They're like, why would I buy this book and take dating advice from her? And I'm like, I'm exactly the person you should take dating advice from because I've been through it all and I'm literally telling you what not to do.
Did you ever date any famous men in LA before Tom Sandoval? Like, not on the show, like any other like actors or anything? Or hook up with any famous
not
people?
Really. There was one person that I like briefly dated who was the opposite of my type. Like very briefly in like 2007.
Who was that?
Seth MacFarlane.
Really?
Yeah.
Do people know this?
Like my friends do.
Oh my God.
Like, wait, he wasn't my boyfriend, but we went out on dates.
And that was like during Family Guy.
Yeah.
Were you like, Seth, like, let me voice one of the characters.
So
did you ever voice a character?
I've never really talked. Well, whatever. Who cares? I think he has a girlfriend and like I barely talk to him anymore, so he can't be mad at me. Seth, I love you. We met at like a club or something through the Maloofs. Like, or it was just, or like some event. It was like an event at a club or something like that. And the first time, the next day, I was 24 years old. And the next day, I remember he texted me, and I was like, "Who the fuck is this?" Like, I don't remember. I was really drunk. And he was like, "Let's go to the movies," or like, "Do you want to go get a drink?" And I was like, "Oh, who is Seth?" And so I agreed to go have cocktails with him in the Valley. And I got there, and all of a sudden I'm like, I don't even know what this guy looks like. I have no idea who I'm meeting right now. All I know is some guy named Seth who was really funny through text, and we were having a great banter, and we obviously had a good time last night, but I don't remember. So then eventually he's like, "Hey, what's up?" You know, waving his hand around. So I was like, "Okay." So we have drinks. He starts talking to me about his job and Fox and Family Guy. And I was like, "Oh, what do you do?" For Family Guy, because he'd invited me. I think it was like the 100th episode party. And I was like, "What do you do?" And he goes, "Oh, it's my show." And all of a sudden, my brain, because I didn't know what he looked like.
He's cute, too. He's cute.
Adorable.
Yeah,
but at that moment, I'm like, Seth MacFarlane, Family Guy, holy shit, what is happening right now? So we had fun for a little while.
Was he good in bed?
We never had sex.
Okay. I had to ask. Yeah. Who do you think is the best looking man on Bravo?
The new guy, Luke, on Summer House.
Oh my God. So sexy, right? I know.
I may or may not have slid into his DMs.
Good for you. You should. He's gorgeous.
I know. I text Lindsay. Too. I text Lindsay and it was like, is he single? Is he dating anyone on the show? Is there anything? Should I slide into
his DMs? The crossover we need, Kristen. We need you to hook up with that Luke guy. He seems like a little maybe like bland, but he doesn't need to. He looks good enough. Like,
I haven't watched the show yet. Like, I'm going to binge it, but. Just like his Instagram alone. Yeah, he's like, who are you?
I know. He's gorgeous. How old is he? Is he in his 20s or 30s?
I don't know. Probably too young for me.
No, I think he might be like, I feel like he's like 30-ish.
I should stalk a little bit. Over 30. I'm like, what does he do for a living?
Right.
When I go to New York, should I try to make out with him?
You should definitely. Did you ever make out with any other Bravo celebrities like across show? I know there was like this big thing that Sheena might have made out with Craig from Southern Charm.
No, that was me.
It was you that made out with Craig. Okay, Sheena. Sheena.
Yeah.
Sheena, what are you doing? Shep.
Yeah. Just Craig.
I hate Shep.
That was it.
Chris,
I hate Shep.
But Craig is gorgeous.
Craig's a sweetheart.
I met him at BravoCon and I was like blown away by how good he looks in person because I always thought he looked good on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But in person, I was like, oh my God, he's so handsome.
And he's tall. I feel like that doesn't read on camera because you know Shep is tall, but all the guys on Southern Charm are so tall that once you meet them in person, you're like, holy. I remember the first time I met Austin and I'm like, you guys literally are all like 6'4". Like, right. This is crazy.
Yeah, I was shocked that Craig was tall, mm-hmm. too. It was blown away. I know that you and Tom and Ariana are friends, and you bring up Tom in the book quite a bit. There's a few chapters. Did you talk to them about what you were writing about them?
A little bit. I told Ariana more because Tom's terrible at his phone anyway, and I don't really think he cares at this point. Like, we've sort of aired our dirty laundry, and I don't trash him at all in the book. I told Ariana that I was writing about Miami Girl. I just wanted to give her a heads up, and she was totally fine with that. But I also have a whole chapter about what it's like making up with them and finding a way to be friends with your ex and his girlfriend that I thought had scarred me for life. And like what, because I think that's something, especially in Vanderpump Rules, Ariana and I always talk about how they never really showed
you guys making up.
Yeah. Which was so, like, suddenly so you guys are friends. Where did we miss that? So that's why I dedicated an entire chapter to what that process was like.
We've seen Sheena doing arts and crafts, but we haven't seen two of the main cast members make up. It's so weird. Looking back on the relationship with Tom, what did you learn from that relationship?
Tom and I just stayed in it for far too long. I think we just became very complacent. We were also dead broke. We didn't really know any better. We were so young when we started dating. Like, I met him when I was 24, started dating when I was like 24, 25. And we just sort of stayed together because it's what we knew.
Yeah.
And I think it was comfortable, even though we were miserable. And then we cheated on each other, but it was like, maybe we could, we just didn't know ourselves very well, I think. Yeah. And I absolutely celebrate Tom for like kind of putting his foot down and being like, this has to end. Cause I would have stayed with him forever.
What was on that fucking DVR that
Vanderpump Rules?
Is that what was on it?
I'm not even joking.
Like, so it was just like the season it was all, Lana
we didn't even have cable until we got the show. So this then we got exclusive. Cable so we could watch Jersey Shore in the Hills because we were like, we don't know what we're getting ourselves into. We couldn't afford cable. And then it was that, and it was like Ancient Aliens and like science shows.
Oh my God. I always wonder what was
the
on that
damn DVR box.
So you also maintain in the book that Tom cheated twice, right? But mm-hmm. did that? I can't remember.
We did. It was on the show about the Vegas girl.
But the Vegas girl was. Mm-hmm. And Ariana. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. But then they don't think that.
He admitted that they made out in a pool at the Golden Nugget.
I remember Golden Nugget.
I think it was much more than that. And I had, you know, whatever. It is what it is at this point. But like, I maintain that they had some sort of relationship for a long time.
When's the last time you talked to Miami girl?
Back then. Oh, yeah.
That was so fucking messy.
That was so messy.
So messy. And I loved
crazy Kristen.
Every second. Would you have done that if it wasn't on a TV show? Like in real life?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You would have just brought my...
Oh, it was before filming that I even reached out to her because the article about Tom and Jack's in, like, I think Star Magazine, supposedly all that messiness, came out in the spring before filming. And the second I saw it, I was like, who is this girl? I'm going to find her. I called producers. I was like, oh, this is happening.
Yeah.
And she was, and also I never flew her out there. I could not even afford to fly myself somewhere.
She paid her own way.
Yes, she did. She was more than happy to be a part of that.
Yeah, she wanted to be on Vanderpump Rules.
100%. She wanted to publicly embarrass Tom.
Yeah. Well, it was great TV. These are, as we're reminiscing, I'm like, oh my God, the golden years were just so, so good. There's also getting a little bit more serious. There's a chapter in the book that truly blew me away. I was surprised you talk about sexual assault.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so amazing of you to talk about it because it is a really fun, fluffy, fun, wonderful book. But then there is a chapter where you say that the situation happened to you.
Yeah.
Would you mind maybe expanding a little?
It was really hard. It was a really hard thing to agree. It was really Michelle's idea. I'll say that. She was like, one day during our writing process, I mean, we wrote morning, noon, and night for, you know, months. And she sitting in my backyard and she literally looked at me and she goes, have you ever been raped? Straight up. And my jaw dropped. I'm like, what? I'm sorry, what? I mean, we talk about everything, but what? And she goes, just answer the question. And I said, yes. She's like, we have to talk about it then. We have to talk about every single scenario universally that you have been through. And if you haven't, then that's that. But you have, we have to find a way to say it because women are going to read this book and it is funny and tongue in cheek and poking fun and whatnot. But we have to touch on it. You know, we talk about abuse, we talk about rape, we talk about my chapter with Jax, and those are the three a little heavier hitting moments. But I felt like I wouldn't be being completely vulnerable and honest if I didn't talk about it.
Does it scare you to be that vulnerable? Because I think out of anything in the book, I think that's what's going to really touch people a lot. And I think it'll definitely affect and be wonderful for people to read.
Yeah.
But it is putting... like something that I think you even said in the book that you almost put so far away.
Yeah.
Or tried to convince yourself that it wasn't. Is that right?
Right. Yeah.
And that's normal.
All the emotions that you go through when you want to, push it away. Like you want to think that like maybe it was my fault and maybe if I wasn't so drunk or, you know, should I have gone to the police or what would I have done? But would I have messed up I say this in the book, like would I have messed up friendships surrounding this person? I didn't know him very well, but it was someone that, you know, was in a group with us. And it was just very,
what do you mean,
very conflicting
group?
And like, meaning like in a friend group, meaning like I knew who he was.
Okay.
It wasn't someone I was close to, but I knew who he was. And so it was like, am I going to ruin his life? Am I making this too big of a deal? Are people going to believe me?
You're worried
Is
about
he going to deny
people.
It? Yeah. Like there's just so many things surrounding it, but. And I say this in the book too. It's like, I don't think about it very often. But I've dealt with it. And when I do really sit and think about it, like it's very emotional.
Yeah.
And because it's such a topic, you know, as of late in the last couple of years in the public, I just felt like it was something I had to touch on. So if anything, women that are reading it go, oh my God, me too.
That happened to me.
Yeah. And I'm not alone. And maybe I should talk about it. And maybe I shouldn't suppress these feelings.
And I think what you'll find when the book is out and people get to read the whole story, I think you'll get that feedback as well. You'll hear people saying that happened to me too.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very universal situation, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
But consent is very important, mm-hmm. As you say in the book. And I think so many women go through that, and men too. But
Men too. That's the thing, men too.
It's just broke my heart reading about it because I just think so many women have what women in particular have to deal with. And then I think by nature, women are people pleasers, mm-hmm. Right? And so I
definitely was, absolutely.
So you're like protecting this other person and not protecting yourself.
Yeah, just thinking, well, I can deal with it. I'll be fine. Yeah. So it was definitely, it was also hard because the book is so kind of lighthearted and funny. It was like, is this putting a damper on it?
No, I
like,
thought
is
it was
this a weird thing, but it was just, I felt like, again, like if I didn't say it, then I wasn't being honest.
Yeah. I think it's going to help so many people. And
I hope
just,
so.
I think it's wonderful that
you
also in the book, one of the things I love is you're very open about going to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a wonderful thing. I wanted to give you just a minute or two, if there's someone out there listening who's maybe afraid to go to therapy, or they think, you know, something's going on with me inside, but like I'm holding something in, but I don't know, I've never seen a therapist, or that's not something they're comfortable with. Like, what would you say to someone like that to say, it's okay to go to therapy?
Oh, I think it's the healthiest thing ever. And it's something that Ariana and I really bond over. And I'm so proud of her for coming out of her shell and being so open, like as of the last couple of years, about her sexuality and about like her depression
mental
health. It's so important
because
it's so easy to just suppress, but it's not doing you any justice. And if you really want to grow as a person and truly be happy, like these things are important, and it's, your friends are great and whatnot, but talking to someone who's a professional, who's completely unbiased and, and trust me, they've talked to people a lot crazier than you.
And they know that they have like sort of the toolkit to help you deal
with
all this stuff.
And there's many toolkits. Yeah. Like there's not one right or wrong way through therapy. There's a million different kinds. Like cognitive behavioral therapy works for some people. Sometimes just talk therapy helps other people.
Couples therapy, group therapy, all sorts
different
of
kinds.
Different.
And I say in the book too, when I'm talking about my therapist, like it took me a minute to find her.
Right.
I went to a couple of people prior to that, and I was the very first person. I was stubborn as hell, and I'm like, oh God, you don't know anything, and like I'm not into it. Then I think I went to three people before her. And then the second person I went to one time, the third person I went to a couple of times. I was like, all right, I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah.
But I just didn't click with them.
Yeah.
And then finally I found the one I did vibe with who like sort of cussed. She would say the word fuck like in our first session. And I was like, all right, this bitch gets me. You know what I mean? Like you stop feeling like you're under a microscope, but you're actually having a conversation.
It is like dating too a little bit. You got to find the right fit. There was this one therapist I went to, and she told me that I could come to her house for my sessions because her office was like in Santa Monica, which is far away from me. And she lived like right near me-ish. And so I would go there, and every time I would get there, like let's say the appointment was for 6 o'clock. I would get there at 6 o'clock, and she would be like just coming out of the shower. She'd be in a robe and like wet hair. And it happened like every time. And it wasn't like in a sexual way, but it was just like,
she was just
what
like,
is going on? She'd be like, hold on a second. And then so I'd have to like wait on her stump while she dried her hair or whatever.
God.
Or then the whole session she'd be in a like a bathrobe, and I'm like, this isn't working for
this
me.
This is weird as shit. That's super fucking weird.
It takes a little while.
And people also need to know, like, because I think a lot of people are deterred from like that it's expensive. And it does but you can find like a sliding scale therapist. You just have to do a little bit of research. Your insurance might even cover. If you don't have insurance, you can't afford that. There are people that will do it for very cheap.
Yeah.
When I started seeing my therapist, I was like right when Tom and I broke up, right about then. And I was very broke. And I straight up said, I can't afford, I want to see you, but I can't afford it. So she worked with me on that.
Yeah.
You know, and then there was eventually a point where she was like, I can't really keep doing it at this cheap. And I was like, totally fair.
You guys had some low contracts those first couple seasons.
Yeah.
You know, there was like nothing.
It was awful.
There's also some stuff about James in the book. And on the show, we saw, like, as I was reading, I was thinking back, like, of some of the things we saw between the two of you, and we saw some pretty dark stuff. And I wondered, is it hard to be around? I mean, we talked a little bit about Tom, but is it hard to be around James in particular? Because that relationship was, to me, viewing it, was a little bit more abusive.
Oh, absolutely. Tom's an angel in comparison.
Yeah, Tom is an angel. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom and I were definitely toxic and not great to each other. We had our moments, and I was definitely awful to him at certain times. But James is just like legitimately like Satan's spawn.
How about when you're doing like press and stuff? Like,
I just stay away from him.
You just stay away from him.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's smart.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'll be as professional as I have to be. Like during main titles, we had to stand next to each other, and it's like, I have a job to do, but typically I now just tell production. It was actually this season was the first time I just said, if it means you take me out of scenes, I can't be around him. And it's the only way that I'm not going to freak out.
What's your relationship like with LVP?
I actually saw her yesterday. She's so proud about the book. She's been much kinder the last year. I think she's been through a lot in the last year. Housewives, her mother, her brother, like, you know, rest in peace, God forbid. It was, she's been through so much. And I think that that just softened her a bit to me, seeing the stuff I was going through with the girls and with Carter. And like, my brother was really sick over the summer, and like, I had some family stuff going on. She was just really kind. And I think she's finally noticing that I actually like work really hard, and I'm not just a 20 something year old pain in the ass employee anymore.
Yeah, because you guys always have some confrontational scenes.
Because I don't kiss the ring.
Yeah.
I probably should have. It would have done better for me, but it's just not who I am.
Do you watch Housewives at all?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
I used to.
Yeah.
I want to start watching.
You need to watch New York, Kristen.
Yeah, I want to start. Sassy told me like months ago that I should start from season one.
Yeah, it's like the best. It's
and she
the
was
best.
Like, you're going to love it. You're going to be obsessed.
I mean, I love Vanderpump Rules, but Real Housewives of New York is just my like.
Yeah.
It's everything. Okay, so also you told me I love the Architectural Digest videos.
Yes.
And you DM me and said you're doing one.
Yeah. So
the open door.
Yeah, like in a week and a half.
That is so. Kristen,
they're
like,
coming to
me.
Film.
That's everything.
I just started watching, so I got sent like a bunch of links. So I just started watching. I started with Teddy Mellencamp's, and then just started watching like the 10 that they sent me. And
are
I'm
they
so excited.
So excited. I like love a home tour. I could just watch anyone take me to their house. So
yeah,
I'm so excited.
I'm really stoked.
Do you feel like stressed to like get the house perfect for them?
I don't, only because we just did a photo shoot recently with
so
a
ready.
Friend of mine who's the interior designer. Yeah, so all I said was, I'm going to have it cleaned while I'm out of town next week, and then come over and just make sure it kind of looks the way that, you know, you wanted it to
will
look.
Will we see your house on the show this season?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I know it's weird because you only saw like one scene so far, but I moved in much later than everyone else did, and mine was a fixer-upper, and it took me a lot of time to get it to even where it is now. And it's still, houses are hard. There's so much more work to do.
It's a lot of work. And I think your house is so appealing to the viewers just because the other houses all look the same. And so we're like, let's get to see Kristen.
Yeah. And mine, I had to like renovate so much.
Like, and you had to what?
I had to renovate much. Like,
because yours
floors,
is an older house.
It's 1939.
Yeah.
And I thought when I moved in, I was like, okay, 6 weeks, I'm going to like paint inside, paint outside, redo the floors, knock down a wall, redo the bathrooms. Everything's going to be great. And after, no, it's not how it works. I used to cry and call my mom and ask her if I could return it and get a refund. But I love it now. I'm good.
I'm excited to see it. So there's a Everything Iconic fan Facebook group, and I asked if they had any questions because they knew you were coming on the show. So someone in the Facebook group wanted you to know if your friends wash their hands of you for making bad relationship decisions, they aren't your friends. What would you say to that?
I mean, that's where I'm at right now, and I agree. I don't think that it's not the kind of love that I like, prefer, or give. So I just think if it isn't, you know, if it's not the friendship you want to maintain forever, then you do have to do what's healthiest for you. But it's just not my style. Like, I'm a ride or die.
Right. Mike said, what really happened in Mexico when Schwartz got lost on the beach and supposedly wound up at another resort?
Yeah.
We never saw that. What was that?
So it was.
Did he hook up with someone?
No, God, no. It was. Oh my God. It was like the sun was coming up, and Schwartz and James and I took bicycles. We were just effing hammered and went to the beach. And that's why I was so mad that the whole Jack's like, oh, James and Kristen were like banging
Schwartz
by.
Was there too.
Well, Schwartz was with us, and so a couple of our producers were surfing. And I was like, why can't I just say that they saw, or not producers, I'm sorry, camera guys. And I was like, they saw me there. Like, they know nothing happened.
Right.
And then we rode the bikes back to the hotel, and Schwartz took off, and then I went to bed.
Do you feel, I've said this,
that's just like a Tom thing to do. He just likes to roam.
Like, he just likes to roam.
Tom gets drunk, but he's funniest like the next day when he's still drunk. Like, when I lived in West Hollywood, we all lived here, Tom would get up at like 8 o'clock in the morning. He still does this, and he's like, Dodie, let's go to the Standard Hotel and dip our toes in the pool and have a Pinot Grigio spritzer like 8 o'clock in the morning. Because Tom's just hysterical and funny, and he would like walk up and down Melrose, go to Taste, like go to all these places by himself.
Just the next
he
day.
He just likes to roam. Yeah. Let Tom live.
Let him live. I have mentioned this on Everything Iconic a million times. I think that the men on your show often get way more passes than the women. In terms of like the
empathy.
Viewers. And again, I just want to say, I don't think that the women on your show are complete angels or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But it seems like the men are so much more quickly forgiven And that must be frustrating.
Of course for the women, it is. I think I talked about that last season. We called it empathy. Right, it was like, oh, they can do whatever.
It's they
like,
can
oh,
cheat, steal, lie,
it's
everything.
Like, oh, that's just Jax, though. Oh, just a cute little Schwartz. That's just the way Tom is. Yeah.
And it seems like they get away with murder, and then someone like Katie can just say something. Of course, say something awful, but it's like the
Katie
viewers
saying "shut the fuck up." All of a sudden, Katie's the devil,
right?
For seasons to come,
and it just She'll I feel like it's forgiven. So imbalanced. Yeah, I'm like, oh my god! But your cast is also very divisive because every time I have any of you guys on the show, it's like I get aggressive messages. Mm-hmm. Either people love you or hate you, and
There's really no in between.
There's no in between.
As it is with life, though, I feel that way with guys I've dated. It's like, I'm the crazy devil one, but he's fine, you know?
The men get to just do whatever the fuck they want.
Whatever they want.
Okay, Kristen said, with all the talk of Bravo cutting people, they cut some people on Orange County that have been Vicky and Tamara, who've been there for 100 years.
It's so crazy.
Are any of you concerned about the show ratings-wise, or do you guys even look at any of that stuff?
I do because I'm obsessed with everything. So, like, I get Google alerts on myself and the show, and I want to see the ratings all the time. I want to know what people are thinking because this is our job and our real life. And it's a very, like, weird thing to have your job be your life and your life be your job. Mm. So, I'm very invested in it and I do care. And I really hope I keep my job.
Yeah. Casey said, ask if her shoulders hurt from carrying the show.
I love that so much. And I tried to, I loved it. I saw that on Twitter and I tried to find a way to like, I'm not like egocentric enough to be like, oh, retweet, ha ha ha. So I was like, yeah, my neck, my back.
Well, I think, Kristen, we need messy people on these shows, and sometimes you're the only one giving us a little bit of messiness.
And I don't, so to clarify, I don't think I carry this show. Well, I mean, I think none of us can have a spinoff. I think we need.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
We need the Brittany, we need the Jax, we need the Stassi, the Katie, the Tom, you know, we need the Sheena for sure. Like, we need all of us, and I think it's been proven otherwise, they probably would already have spun off with someone already.
We don't need the new people.
Yeah, not really.
Unless they're on a separate thing.
I think Dana's a great addition. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think she's crazy, sexy, and cool. And she's smart, and she's well-spoken. And I really like that addition. But yeah, I don't think we need like people 10 years younger than us.
Weird part about it. And then it's like, I feel like Sheena's the one who has to film with all the young people all the time. And it's just like an awkward.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm going to do a little lightning round with you. Favorite rom-com?
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Right. So your co-writer wrote that book. Okay. Or co-wrote it. Sandra Bullock or Julia Roberts?
Sandra Bullock.
Favorite Mariah Carey song?
Oh, anything from the album, what was it, like 90? When she had like, she wore like the black off the shoulder dress.
Daydream? Was it like the gray cover?
That.
Oh, way before. Music Box?
Nope, before that. When she had like the really curly hair. Oh my
self-titled,
god.
Her self-titled.
It might have been. It was like gold writing, black dress, off the shoulder. Everything from that album.
Oh, so good. Britney or Christina?
Britney.
First concert?
New Kids on the Block.
Meg Ryan, thoughts?
Love. Sleepless in Seattle.
So good. If they made a Vanderpump Rules movie, who would you want to play you?
Does she have to look like me?
No.
One of my friends, she's up and coming, Lily Simmons. That's who
Lily,
I want.
Who is she? Will we know something?
She was in, did you know the show Gotham? She played Catwoman on like the final
interesting
thing of it. And she's done a bunch of like indie stuff, but I'm very much rooting for her to play me in our TV show.
Are you interested in acting at all? This isn't a lightning round.
I love it. I miss it so much.
So like, I mean, I know you guys have such a busy schedule, but you know, I would love to see you guys. Here's what I want. I want Bravo to start doing like what Hallmark and Lifetime do with the Christmas movies. And I want them to cast like Bravo celebrities in them. I'll write one. Like, I just want there to be a Christmas movie like with you and Kim Richards or like whoever the actors are.
Yeah. I miss it so much. I knew that once the Vanderpump got big, it was like, that's it. We're now going to be reality personalities trying to be actors, even though a few of us have like really, I mean, Ariana and Tom Sandoval, like really studied for years.
Right.
And I feel like doing Vanderpump is like the best improv training I've ever had. Mm-hmm. Hands down.
And there's some acting. I mean, Peter and Raquel, it looked like they were acting.
Bad acting.
Mary, fuck, kill, Tom, James, and Jax. Tom Sandoval, James, and Jax.
James, kill.
Right.
Oh, shit. Fuck Tom, Mary Jax.
Mary, fuck, kill, Katie, Stassi, and Peter.
Ooh. Mary, fuck, kill Katie, Stassi, Peter. Mary, Stassi, kill Peter, fuck Katie.
When is the last time you had contact with the Veil or Laura Lee?
Laura Lee, it's been since whenever she fell off the face of the planet. And Veil, we like DM once in a while. Like, I still follow her. And if I like see something, you know, we kind of like double tap and like heart emojis and whatnot.
That clip of you telling Diana to suck a dick where Veil is like kind of trying to like get in the mix and it's like so embarrassing, but I get it. Like, she just could not get her way in.
No.
But Laura Lee, like, I really want somebody to just like bring Laura Lee back for a scene.
Yeah, I like don't know what happened to her. I tried to like find her, like reach out like once in a while, like just after she sort of left the show, and I just, like, I don't know what happened to her. I don't know where she went.
To me, there would truly be nothing more thrilling than, like, a surprise appearance from Laura Lee. Like,
oh my God.
They wouldn't even, like, don't even put it in a promo or anything. Just, like, all of a sudden in a scene.
She just shows up in Rome, Italy at Stassi's wedding.
Oh, Kristen, I would love it so much. She just pops on by in front of that camera.
I would fly her there.
I think you should. Like, and that would be the most amazing thing. Oh, my God. What was your AOL screen name?
Oh, it was Tris62, I think.
What was that for?
Yeah, I don't remember why. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was it, though.
Kristen, this was so fun. Is there anything else you want to tease about the upcoming or the rest of the season? Are we going to like it?
I hope so. I mean, I'm going to watch it with you guys. Like, yeah. The wedding is going to be awesome. There's definitely some dramas.
What other drama do we have?
In there. Wedding drums.
Is there something
you'll
that
see
has
me, Katie, and Stassi once again?
So, do you guys fight at the wedding?
Not at the actual wedding, but during wedding festivities. Yeah,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Kristen, I'm rooting for you guys all to get together because I want you all to be friends again.
I do too.
Tell them you love them here. You love them. Right?
I love you guys. I love you, Katie and Stassi. They know
and
that.
And anything else you want to promote? The book is out in June.
June 2nd. Pre-order on Amazon, please.
And it's really like it's really a fun read, but then there's also these moments where it's very deep.
I'm very proud. It's the most vulnerable thing I've ever done. And it's like nothing will ever compare to writing this book. Like, it's the coolest experience of my life.
It's so, I'm so excited for you. And
thank you.
I can't wait for you to see it on store shelves.
I know. I'm
right next
freak
to
out,
fancy
right?
AF cocktails.
Is that how you felt when you like went to Target for the first time or like Barnes & Noble and you were like, holy shit.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, it'll be even more exciting for you because it's like your face is on the, yeah. I mean, it'll just be, it's a great moment. And yeah, to just go to Barnes & Noble and like pick it up. Or,
yeah.
You know, on the show, I think they showed Ariana or Stassi putting her book in front of the
yes,
other book.
Yes, and I love that she did that. I love it. Yeah. I would do the exact same thing, hands down.
I do that, for sure. Kristen, thank you so much. I want to tell everyone, please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook, it's facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. And then there's still tickets to the Dallas live show. There's just a few left. I'd love to see you guys. Go to everythingiconic.com. And at the top of the page, there's a link for that. And there's going to be really crazy, exciting guests for that one, I think.
And oh, wait, real quick, shout out Detroit people. February 19th, I will be at the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak with Rachel O'Brien doing a live podcast.
You guys are live touring now, too.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I'm kind of tagging along for a
will
few
will you
of
come
them.
To an Everything Iconic live show
Absolutely.
When I do an LA one?
Yeah, it's okay, so please. Much fun. It's less scary than I thought it was going to be, yeah. And it's a lot of fun.
Because we all just want to laugh and be messy together.
It's fun.
Okay, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for listening.